Thanks for being here. Joining me in studio, Arizona Congressman Juan Ciscomani. Really anxious to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Happy to be here on your first day on the job.
I'm learning the ropes. I want to jump right into this. Let's start with the border visit. Tomorrow, there are going to be three Democrats and three Republicans, colleagues of yours, that will be at the Arizona border. It's going to be you, led by you and Democrat Congressman Greg Stanton from Arizona. Can you talk a little bit about the border visit and what you hope to accomplish?
That's right. So this is a bipartisan trip, like you mentioned, three Republicans, three Democrats going to the border, not only the border area, but we're listening on immigration law. We're also going to be on the other side of the border, going on the Mexico side, visiting manufacturing plants. So I've always talked about them in this show as well. When we talk about the border, it's security, it's trade and commerce, it's immigration law, it's all of the above as well. So we're going to cover it all in this trip. And it's important to know that we're going to be there for 2 days. So this is not a come in and out photo op type that we want to have it be substantive with the right information, meet with the people that are on the ground from Border Patrol to the ones that are doing trade and commerce and so on. So this is going to be a full loaded trip. And again, the main objective is for every one of these members from Illinois, New York and California to be able to go back home or back to their districts and then back to Washington much better informed of what actually happens here at the border.
Are you a little frustrated? Because I get frustrated for this reason. I have defended Arizona saying we are starting to hear places like New York and Denver and Chicago sound a lot like Arizona and saying this is unsustainable with the migrants in our towns. It seems like the momentum for border security is swinging in the favor of people like you and I that say it starts with border security, but it seems like the wheels are turning so slow. Is that frustrating to you too?
It is absolutely frustrating. It's frustrating because the evidence is there. Independent voters even are, this is their number one issue as well. This is not just a Republican issue anymore that you're seeing. A lot of Democrats are interested in this as well. Example is Greg and I. Now, we've worked together since he was mayor when I was with the Arizona-Mexico Commission, so this is not a new issue for Greg and I to work together on. So when we look at what's happening, a lot of old school stuff. You know, Greg has been in for, this is his second term, this is my first term. It is going to take this new generation of members to come in and say, enough with all the treadmill running on this issue of the political football on immigration and border security. But I got to tell you, these people that are coming down from up East Coast especially, if they weren't seeing the number of migrants being arriving to their states, I'm not sure that they would feel the heat that, like they're feeling it now.
But isn't there some pushback within the caucuses or within the parties that if you're a Republican willing to work in a bipartisan way with a Democrat, you get heat for it and vice versa? Does that play a role in why some people are not backing some of these things?
Absolutely. What you're seeing now, and I'm seeing it in my own district, and I'm sure Greg is seeing it as well, you get criticized from both sides for doing something like this. Finding consensus or bipartisanship have become, you know, no words in Congress. When in a divided Congress like we have now, this is the way to pass legislation. Now, with the Republicans having the majority in the House, we have the opportunity actually to set the legislation, set it forward, get the wins that we need, and then come back and fight another day for these. So when we prioritize border security, we have to be able to do the things that matter. It's not about passing messaging bills that are going to go to the Senate and just die. We have to pass things that will actually make a difference.
So let's talk then about not just the border visit, but the piece of legislation about communications. Can you explain that you and Congressman Stanton proposed legislation on how they communicate? Is that a good way of saying
that? That is a good way to say it. So there's a lack of and a breakdown in communication between the different Homeland Security departments, from Border Patrol to Customs to law enforcement. We need to have a seamless flow of communication here for security reasons. And that also is communication to Congress so that we can make better policy decisions on what actually legislation would work. So that's what this bill would do.
And is it being well received? Do you see it passing soon? And do you think the Senate will take it up?
It is very well received. And the fact that you have two co-sponsors from different parties and both from a border state, in my case, a border district, even that gives it a lot better chance of passing. Leadership has worked very well with any bill that I've prioritized for veterans, my own border bills as well. The bill this past weekend that we voted on border security. So I have a really good relationship with the Speaker, Mike Johnson, and the leader, Steve Scalise. So that helps us on our side. And Greg is going to work on the folks on his side of the aisle to make something happen. Then it's up to us to go work in the Senate Senate and make sure that they pick it up as well. This is a common sense bill that should pass.
When you look at, when you spoke of security, recently we talked about Christopher Wray, the FBI director, and raising the alarm that post October 7th, the concerns about terrorism here in the U.S., you have to keep in mind, at least you have to be mindful of the fact that the border issue could lead to something like that. Is that something that you're discussing with your colleagues as well? And even the more urgency in getting something done.
Absolutely. When you look at the fact that over 200 people have been apprehended that are on the FBI terrorist watch list. Now, you got to earn your way on that list. You don't just appear on it for no reason. So when you have over 200 apprehensions of people that are on that list, that worries you. And when we saw what happened in Israel and what's happening across the world, it's an unstable place. And our enemies are emboldened because of the weakness of this administration, of this White House, and the fact that the border has been wide open. It allows for people that we don't know who they are to come into this country. And now we're seeing crime spurge around the country on this. No major, I would say, terrorist attack yet. However, that's a very, very strong possibility of that.
What is also something to consider when we talk about this issue, the border issue, is that more and more Americans are in favor of mass deportations. We are seeing the attitude toward legal immigration decline in America. And I think that's horrible. I am such an advocate for legal immigration. Your story of being a naturalized citizen and now representing your district in the Congress is the American dream story that we should be telling stories we're proud of. How much of that is something harder for you to deal with when you think about attitudes towards immigration changing in America?
Yeah, well, first of all, I understand people's conflict right now because what they've seen the last couple of years on this is horrific, and it's been the total abuse on the system. As an immigrant myself, and when I won in November in 22, I became the first immigrant from Mexico to win a congressional seat in Arizona's history. Had never been done before. Broke that glass ceiling for not only immigrants, but people pursuing the American dream overall in this country, that you can come wash cars with your dad for a living when you're young and end up representing those same houses in Congress that you wash cars in, you know, later on. So we're all living a version of the American dream. I believe in it. However, what's happened, it's been an abuse on this. So people's opinion and has shifted on this, and that's very unfortunate. However, the president can fix this if he wanted to by stopping the really bad actors. We can let a group of bad actors really define the millions and millions of immigrants that have paid the price, come into this country, and like my family, it took them almost 14 years to become U.S. citizens. A lot of people are still in this process. And one of the saddest things here, Mike, is that people that have been in this process for over a decade, their process just got delayed even more because of the bottleneck that is happening in the immigration system and the how we're stuck in policy as well. So people that are actually going through the process, legally paying the attorney fees and going through everything, are the ones also paying the price for this.
Well, I know the caucus in the House has put you in charge of the committee on this, these border issues, but do you have contact with anyone in the White House? Is the White House listening to stories like yours? Is there any movement in the White House and a change in policy that could expedite some of these changes and then you can do legislation?
Short answer is no.
No.
Short answer is no from the White House. We have communicated. We have over-communicated on this. Even as in my freshman year, because of my background and who I represent, I was given a leadership position in terms of anything border, anything immigration related. However, the White House has just played a blind eye to this, a deaf ear to it. And I've had direct meetings or conversations with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who we ended up impeaching just about a month ago because of his just dereliction of duty and ignoring the law. So we're past the point of conversations with them. They know what they have to do. We've been telling them for almost 4 years now, Mike, and they just the evidence is, what have they done? And the answer is nothing. So that's a problem.
So the impeachment of Mayorkas, my last question is about that. Would that have done any good if he had been ousted? Because if he works at the pleasure of the president, it's the White House that's not responding. How would we get anybody else in that place if appointed, or at least, you know, obviously the nomination from the president? How are we ever going to get anybody different if the president's not moving?
Well, without Alejandro Mayorkas there, we know that someone that can do the job would be gone. The president would get another opportunity to appoint someone. That person would have to go through the scrutiny of the Senate as well. Our Senate Republicans may have been able to do something there, but we just need someone that can actually work on this. We know it's been proven that Alejandro Mayorkas does not want to secure the border. And ultimately, he's responsible for this, reports to the president. But on the chart, he's the one that is making this happen. So we've held him accountable. The went through the Homeland Security Committee, made a decision. We voted on it. And he was gone in terms of the House. The Senate never picked it up. That's very unfortunate. Playing politics with this again. We need to secure the border. Alejandro Mayorkas has proven that he will not do that. And neither will President Biden. And that's why we need to win the White House back in November.
I know you have other commitments this morning. I appreciate you dropping in here, and you've always kept your commitment. When you're in Phoenix, you come in the studio.
You got it.
And you got an open invitation.
Thanks, man. See you soon.
All right. That is Congressman Juan Sisciomanni.